This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Play calling yesterday. Offensively, had some head scratching going on there. And here's John Harbaugh talking about the Derrick Henry play on the first drive.
Third down, Charlie's a quarterback sneak. You also just tried to draw him off sides. They said he moved his head too much when he was calling this cadence. That's tough. You know, I guess that's the interpretation on that. So that's what happened on that. We overcame that one. The Wildcat off tackle play, we just didn't do a good enough job with it, you know. And it is what it is. It's a call. You know, you look back, you wish you hadn't called that. You wish you maybe it would have been better, you know, as a play. But that's football. You know, that happens, and we understand that. So you keep fighting. You got them backed up, and you keep fighting.
On that play, I mean, yeah, I don't like the call, and, you know, I'm sure Todd didn't like it, you know, but nobody blocked anybody. That was the biggest problem is, you know, the Cleveland kicked the Ravens' ass on that play. I mean, they were in the backfield. They won every one-on-one battle. The Ravens didn't do it. They didn't execute anything right on that play, you know, and the head – now – correct me if I'm wrong. So the head bobbing one, Bob, they
that
were just...
That was the Kolar one.
Right, yeah. But they weren't going to run a play. They were just trying to draw them off sides.
And then he did the...
Yeah, then he...
Excessive cadence head bob there, but didn't work. But getting back to the Henry one, because they score on that drive, and I know we've talked a lot about should he hindsight kick the field goal, blah, blah, blah. Even watching it in real time, you're wondering, I was anyway, and I'm not Vince Lombardi by any stretch of it, but like, what the hell kind of formation is this? Why? Why? Before the play even took place.
Yeah, it put Lamar out, and yeah, because I don't think he's ever thrown a pass from that position, so you can put 11 dudes out. He's not going to throw it out to Lamar. You could throw 11, and Bob, they were coming, you know, because he's not going to beat you to the corner. Derek. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're stacking that box and they're blitzing their ass off. So, that's a tough one on the O-line.
Now, Henry has thrown a touchdown pass before. Threw one against the Ravens in the playoffs back in 2019, but maybe not from that specific Wildcat formation. Marcus Williams did not play yesterday. John Harbaugh explains that decision.
It was a personnel decision. We're cutting through some things there, which I feel very confident Marcus is going to be out there playing great football the rest of the season. So I'll just talk about it being an internal type of situation.
Yeah, I mean, to me, when you're talking internal, you're talking about one of two things. I think either, you know, they sat him down and told him what they thought, or, you know, and then he got all pissed off because – they were doing this after the game. I mean, after the Monday night game, I mean, he wasn't starting on Wednesday. So they determined on, after watching the film and stuff, we're done with this guy for right now, you know. And I'm guessing that he wasn't happy about it, Marcus, and kind of went off.
Now, if John Harbaugh is still competent, and I'm guessing he's going to have to talk about this again today coming up.
No doubt. That's going to be the first question.
In a couple hours. But when's he going to play good football? Is it going to be Sunday against Denver? Is this like he's in a one-game timeout? Will it be in a couple of weeks against Cincy or Pittsburgh? I mean, when does he get back on the field and try to reestablish himself as a guy that they were counting on to be a playmaker, if not a Pro Bowl-level guy for them this year?
No, when he decides, to me, is do you want to play like a Raven or not play like a Raven? Because you're not playing like a Raven right now. I don't know who or what you're playing like, but you're not even playing like Marcus Williams. That's what you're not doing. And, you know, you've got to engage yourself. Do you want to be part of this team or not? And maybe, Bob, who knows? Maybe he says, you know, then, hey, if I'm not starting, why don't you trade me? Who knows what he says?
Here's John Harbaugh, and I guess this could relate to a lot of things happening yesterday. between 1 and 4-ish in Cleveland. What went wrong there, Harpsy?
Just going to go out there and try to compete and do the best we can. I mean, we fight to get pass rush. We fight for everything. We fight for everything. So you always want to do enough to win the game. We weren't able to do that in this game. So we'll definitely break it all down. You know, we'll break every aspect of it down. When we sit there and watch the film, everybody will look at everything that they did, they can do better, and everything we did, and we'll try to continue to keep improving. I mean, there's a lot of football left to be played. You're not going to win every game.
Yeah, I just think when they watch the film, you know, the players and the coaches, they're going to be extremely disappointed in a lot of it. And probably just like effort-wise and receivers like getting open and O-line, I could have made that block. And Lamar, if I'd have hit those two passes. I mean, there's blame on everybody. Justin Tucker, I didn't kick it well. You know, the defense, I got to beat my guy one-on-one. You know, and Oway, you know, I should be licking my chops playing against a guy that struggled at right tackle the week before when he had to come in, and now he's playing left tackle, a spot he's never played before, and I can't beat him? Kind of disappointing.
He looked like Joe Thomas yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Against that Ravens defense. NFL Lunch, John Harbaugh was asked about the defense, and are you still confident there?
Yeah, we're very confident in our guys. We always are. We play great defense, and we'll keep working, and we'll put up some good defensive games, I promise you that.
Yeah, we're still waiting. We're almost halfway through the season, and they can play it good in spurts, but never for four quarters and never in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they've been 32nd in pass defense for a couple of weeks, and their third down defense leaves a lot to be desired.
Oh, yes. Oh, there's no doubt about that.
I mean, the worst third down offense was 8-for-15 against them yesterday as they were moving the chains.
Well, Bob, I keep the I staple the stats. Ravens versus Buffalo. Well, prior to the Buffalo game, they were ranked 32nd in the pass, giving up 291. You know, and now they're still giving up. Well, it was 287, but now it's back up to like 292.
Yeah, offensive player of the week still may have been in that game, but it might be Jameis Winston, not anyone wearing a Ravens uniform. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, look at our picks, take a couple phone calls, and then we're going to have the AFC North report. We think things are kind of down in Baltimore. How about the Bengals? A lot of people picking them to win the division, maybe even get to the Super Bowl. They can't win at home. Hubie in Baltimore. Hubie, thanks for holding. How you feeling?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Like I said Friday, I called it the sleeper game, you know? And what I mean by that, you got to be 1,000% locked in from the coaching staff to the players. But they didn't view it like that. They looked at a 1-5 team, feel as though they could go in there and do whatever they wanted to do, and it showed. It's just like putting your tight end under center. That didn't work. You go down the other end of the field, and you run a wildcat with Henry as if you're going to push them over. I mean, them dudes on the other side of the ball, they professionals too getting paid. That wildcat wasn't going to fool anyone. Why didn't you run the RPO, run pass option or something? But you think you're going to just push them over, and they weren't a pushover. Then you looked at a quarterback that didn't play since 2022. He came out and shredded y'all up, even though we know he will make mistakes. But your defensive backfield wasn't locked in mentally enough to secure the ball into their own hands for the interception. It was handwritten on the wall for me to see that it was a sleeper game from the coaching staff to the players, that they wasn't 1,000% locked in. But going forward, I really believe they need to go get somebody to solidify the safety position. Because they need somebody to come up, either stop the run, help the linebackers out, and even help the corners, and most definitely the deep pass. But the intermediate pass of that 25-yard line is really killing them in the middle. So they need to go out and fix that right away. From the coaching staff to the players, something needs to be done, and all isn't lost yet.
All right, Hubie, thanks for the call. Made some good points, by the way, on the direct snap, Wildcat to Henry, lost 2 yards.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't block a soul, you know. I mean, they got run over. Kohler whiffed. They all whiffed, you know. I mean, Cleveland wanted it more than them. Now, you say, you know, they weren't prepared, but I'll say this. I mean, Bob, they took the ball right down the field. They were like, bam, bam, bam. I mean, they looked good until the fourth down call. You know, other than that, it was good. But then the defense, they went the other way all the way down the field, and you know, they held them at least to a field goal.
All right, well, week 8 of the NFL season's not done yet. Tonight, Pittsburgh takes on the Giants, but let's look at the picks over the weekend here.
You can pick your friends.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Booze on the line. Vinny with the Vino. Me and Nolan Beers. Mick Alter for the kid. Nolan's got his Yinglings over there ready to rock and roll. Let's start with... Oh. Standings first, Nolan.
Right, coming into the week, Bob in the lead, 91-52. Vinny was three games back, 88-55, and I had a lot of work to do, 82-61.
Yeah, all you need is to not give up a Hail Mary on fourth down.
Yep,
with a guy yelling at the fans instead of watching the quarterback scrambling around the field at FedEx, which we'll get to in a second. College Terps, they go to Minnesota, and the spread, it was 3 Friday, went up to 5.5 at kickoff. So those odds makers at ESPN Bet, they know what the hell they're doing. And Maryland drove, much like the Ravens, first drive. They marched down the field, get stopped on 4th and 1. Then they got stomped. Ugh. So somebody took the Terps. I believe it was me.
Yes, you did. Benny and myself on the Gophers on that one.
Notre Dame against Navy, neutral site. This thing was over by the end of the first quarter, it seemed.
And we all had Notre Dame.
Illinois at Oregon, two ranked teams. Oregon giving up 22, and I think they covered the spread.
Not a tough one to pick here. Everyone quacking with the Ducks.
Yeah, Ducks will be going to Ann Arbor on Saturday. Then they host Maryland Saturday, 7 o'clock, Big Ten Network. How about Missouri? Boy, they're flatlining at Alabama.
This ended up being, unless I'm mistaken with another game. I am mistaken with another game. Texas, that was, yes.
Alabama shut them out.
Right. I was going to say, Vandy kept it close with Texas, but we all had the Tide.
Yeah, Missouri went from a team that could be a sneaky national championship hopeful to a team that might be playing in a condiment bowl before it's all said and done. And you mentioned Texas taking on Vanderbilt. Vandy hung. What enough.
That they did, but Texas keeps it rolling, and we all had the Longhorns.
And then LSU at Texas A&M.
All right, difference in opinion on this one. Bob had the Tigers, Vinny and myself, Texas A&M.
Well, Ryan Wilson talking up this Neusmeyer guy, having kind of thinking they would win on the road.
Well, LSU was up like 17-7, early.
And I think that was kind of all she wrote for their offense.
Yeah, that was.
After that, now Texas A&M looks like that sneaky team. Keep an eye on heading into the final phases of this season. Let's get to the NFL. Tennessee at Detroit.
Well, I thought Detroit was destined to put up 60 or 70 in this one, the way they were pacing, but we all had the Lions.
Yeah, they covered that 12.5 with relative ease. How about Arizona at Miami?
All right, let's see here. Vinny had the Dolphins, Bob and myself with the Cardinals. Shout out Chad Ryland.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
There you go. 2 weeks in a row for the former Terp, but Miami gacked that one away. They were up and kind of let things get out of hand in the final couple minutes in the fourth quarter. How about the J-E-T-S, Jets at New England?
Well, we all had the Jets, so
that's the last time.
I'm with you on that one. Stick a fork in those picks. And, hey, they knocked Drake May out of the game, but Jacoby Brissett came in and helped pull the stunner there for New England. Didn't Tom Brady call them soft, and I think Mayo took offense to that?
Well, no, Mayo called his team soft.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
Brady got, kind of irate. You know about that.
All right, Atlanta. What the hell was I thinking? Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
A divisional game.
Oh, God.
Always tough. Was pretty close. Bob had the Bucs here, Vinny and myself, the Falcons.
They did wear their old school popsicles there. Rack Jarrett had a good game, former Terp.
That was the Testaverde
yes,
uniforms.
It was. The Steve Spurrier, John McVay ones, or John McKay, excuse me. Philly at Cincy. We'll get into this one more in-depth in a couple of minutes, but...
Vinny, you can take a victory lap here, taking the Eagles, Bob and myself, with Cincy.
Yeah, so much for them being above 500.
Would you have taken Cincy if you knew Higgins wasn't playing?
No. It's pretty pretty determined on Cincy.
Oh, by the way, Cincy, they're in the Jets category for me.
Yeah.
No more picking Cincinnati. How about Green Bay, Jacksonville?
All right, I got Vinny and myself with the Pack here, Bob with the Jaguars.
Yeah, and look, that was a hell of a throw from Lawrence to Ingram that tied it. Malik Willis leading the game-winning field goal drive because Jordan Love hurt his groin. Does not appear to be overly serious, but there could be some game action missed for the Pack quarterback there. How about Indy and their tired quarterback at Houston?
Well, we all took the Texans in this one.
Stephon Diggs goes down, though, with a knee.
Yeah, it looked like ACL.
Severity be determined. New Orleans at the Chargers.
Ugly game, especially for the Saints. Everyone here had the Chargers, though.
And the dirtiest play of the year. The guy wrapped up Herbert's ankle, twisted it around, and then Bradley Bozeman went Macho Man Savage on him, which was great to see. And Harbaugh gave him a game ball for having his quarterbacks back. But the Saints have lost six in a row. Kamara's probably like, man, why did I sign that extension again? Yeah. Why did I demand a trade? What was I thinking? How about Buffalo at Seattle?
All right, Vinny, in this one, you had the Seahawks, yeah. Bob, and myself with the Bills.
Bears at Washington.
Well, at the time we were picking this, you remember the build-up to this game, it did not seem that there was any chance
right.
that Jaden Daniels was going to play. Sure enough, Sunday morning, he's got a shot. It's going to come down to the wire.
He did get a shot.
They were wrapping him up between every single drive, and he made the play that mattered most, so we all took the L.
Yeah, the Hail Mary touchdown pass to Brown, last play of the game. Chicago's safety was John with the fans at FedEx Field. He's making apologies to anyone who will listen, and rightfully so. He actually turned out to be the guy that got his hand on the ball.
Yep.
But the line was 3 Friday in favor of Chicago. By kickoff yesterday, it was Washington. So you kind of knew what the trends were there. How about Carolina, Denver?
Everyone had the Broncos here. All of a sudden, Denver, as ugly as they've been at times this year, 5-3.
They won 5 out of 6, and they come to Baltimore with the same record as the Ravens. They're getting 9.5, though. We'll talk about it throughout the course of the week. How about KC and the Vegas Raiders? The old rivalry game there.
We all had Kansas City in this one, undefeated for one more week.
Travis Kelce's best game in quite some time.
Yeah, 10 catches, 90 yards. Yeah, old Antonio Pierce may be a one and a dunner.
San Francisco hosting Dallas on Sunday night football.
We all had the Niners in this one. I think I said it'd be over by halftime. I was pretty off on that one, but we'll take the victory in the end.
Yeah, Dallas came back, made it competitive. Yeah. Actually, may had a chance or two to get things done. Could not do so. And then Ravens and Browns over here.
Losses all around here. Score prediction reminders. Bob said 34-10 Ravens. Vinny 28-14 Ravens. And I said 29-23 Ravens.
Ifs and buts, candies and nuts, Chuck Thompson used to say. We'd all have a great Christmas. But if the Ravens score on that first drive, and then Cleveland, this is my plan. I had it all mapped out. They go out quickly. Ravens score again. By the end of the first quarter, they're up 10-14 zip. And then they pack it in, pack it up, pack it in, let me begin, and the Ravens blow them out. Instead, the Ravens do some dopey play call, and Cleveland scores on their first drive.
Well, if they caught the 3 interceptions, Bob, you might have been right.
Yeah. I don't know Puffy Pants right, but still.
And they would have had probably 17 less points.
Now, speaking of Puffy Pants, you want to do a standings update now?
I do after my performance this week. Yeah. Records this week, Bob 12-8, Vinny 15-5, and I was 16-4.
Oh, no wonder.
Updated standings here. Cut the lead. Bob is Bob and Vinny are tied. 103-60 for the lead, and I'm only 5 games back now, 98-65.
Ooh.
103-60. Well, they don't have that in baseball. 102-60, you're going to the playoffs. Well, we still got more football to come for sure.
I did say Friday, either I was going to be way behind or I was going to be ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Ravens. All right, tonight, Giants at the Steelers. What do you got here? Vinny Serrato tied for first.
I'm going Steelers at home with that defense. I'm hoping Daniel Dimes has a big night. Neighbors has about 10 for 200, you know. But I think it's fantasy.
Right, and that Steelers defense just way too stout. I think you saw last week Russell Wilson. He's engaged. Team seems to be rallying behind him. Maybe another big night for Pickens coming. Who knows? I'll go with the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers as well. Najee Harris has had back-to-back 100-yard games, too, so that's a good sign for Mike Tomlin. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, AFC North Report coming back next. Going to hear some of the lowlights for you Bengals fans from that loss to Philadelphia. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. And a fun-out trip to Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over at 2, followed by Game 3 of the World Series. Yankees trying to get back in it, hosting the Dodgers.
Bengals.
Chase to the end zone. That's a Bengal touchdown.
Browns.
Toss down. Miles Garrett gets home.
Steelers.
Pressure ball out. Picked up. What? Touchdown Steelers.
Ravens.
Lamar winding up. Going deep for Bateman. He's got it.
The toughest division in football. Notes from the North. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Well, the toughest division in football might be the other North, the NFC North. And we'll get into all of that fun stuff when we look ahead to week 9 in the NFL season. But as we sit here for the last 3 hours, plus 3.5, complaining about the Ravens, trying to figure out what happened to the Ravens against the Cleveland Browns. We talked about Pittsburgh tonight hosting the Giants as pretty significant favorites as they try to get to 6-2. On the year. How about we go to Cincinnati yesterday afternoon? The Bengals trying to get to 500, taking on the Eagles, who haven't really been Eagles-like, but then you start looking at them. They're getting healthier on the offensive side of the football for sure. And yesterday at Paul Brown Stadium, or whatever the hell they call that place now, this did not go well for the home team.
Tush push, if you please. They do. And again, Jalen Hurts. Third rushing touchdown of the game, and this thing is close to being history.
Eagles radio on the call, the tush push, as they call it. Philadelphia 37-17 over Cincinnati. Bengals scored on their first drive of the game, marched down the field 5-for-5. Third down conversions. Chase catches the touchdown from Joe Burrow. Cincinnati can't run the football, which has been a season-long problem for them, as Joe Mixon's doing some good things for Houston. But Philadelphia quietly starting to percolate just a little bit here. Jalen Hurts, 4 touchdowns, 3 on the ground. 37-17. Bengals dropped to 3-5. 0-4 at home.
Yeah, that's crazy, Bob. And without Higgins, you know, that really hurts the Bengals offense, because you're kind of, you know, all they got is Chase. You know, and then it's easier to take out one guy than it is, you know, two number one receivers.
But how did Cincinnati get it together, or is that ship sailed?
I think that ship is... Bob, when you really look at it, I mean, the two games they won, I mean, they beat Cleveland 21-14, and the week before that, it
Giants.
Was... Yeah, that was nothing either. So, I mean, it's not like they've been playing good. The best game they played was the Ravens game.
A loss.
Yeah.
In overtime. They should have won it. Would have, could have, should have. They did not. And that's all that matters. But for the Cincinnati Bengals, high expectations coming into the season because of Joe Burrow's health and the division that they're in. And look, this is a team that's been in championship games, been in Super Bowls. But the lack of a running game now is a glaring weakness for them. And they've got some problems in the secondary defense.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they have issues. They definitely have issues on defense, really. And in the secondary, they just don't have a lot of speed.
So we look at Bengals next week, 1 o'clock, taking on the Raiders. And if they can't win that game, then we might start seeing circling the drain stuff for Cincinnati.
Yeah, if they can't win that one, then the Thursday night game, Bob, will be a puffy pantser with the Ravens.
Chargers at the Browns. Can Cleveland keep that momentum rolling as L.A.'s 4-3 on the year, but they haven't really been lighting things up. They're starting to get it together a little bit defensively as they're getting their guys back healthy. Khalil Mack had one of the 5 sacks. Herbert's still dealing with that sore ankle, though. And Ladd McConkey, however, seems to become the dude.
Yeah, and I would say this, Bob. I don't think... Is Cleveland going to play with the same energy that they played with? If they play with the same energy they just played with against the Ravens... You know, and the Chargers secondary doesn't pick off. I mean, because he's going to throw it to you. He's going to throw it to you. He's going to give them opportunities to catch a couple. So, I mean, if they can take advantage of it, the Chargers will win. Otherwise, the Browns will win.
Chargers, by the way, laying 2 at Cleveland. But then again, the Ravens were 7.5-point favorites. At one point, that spread was 9.
I think 11, like early last week. Cincinnati getting back to them. They're 8-point favorites against the Raiders. And the Steelers play tonight, but they are off next week. Pittsburgh and San Francisco have the byes for week number 9 of the National Football League season. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is your number. Go to White Martians Cliff. Cliff, thanks for holding. What's up?
Real quick, just a couple things. Number one, without a pass rush, that secondary, they're going to have to ad lib. I don't know about changing personnel this late, like one of the gentlemen said, but they're going to have to really get creative because we're not rushing the passer. That's the first thing.
Yep.
Number two, it was very, you know, I want the Ravens to win. I'm a Baltimore guy, but to see Nick Chubb out there in his second game back from that gruesome injury being a factor in the game like that, he ran hard. He, you know, the story part of it, you got to be happy for Nick Chubb. That's the second thing. And finally, when I was handicapping this game, Bob, I looked at the Browns as a team that can rush the quarterback. At home, they play really good defense. But Deshaun Watson has been a cancer to that team, the fan base, everything. And I don't know, I thought Winston shot, and he lucked out quite a bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an upgrade for the Browns yesterday to get rid of Deshaun Watson, albeit through an injury. But I don't know what you guys think. Anybody would have been a better choice than Deshaun Watson. He's just a cancer in that locker room, and it just goes to show you they played hard for this guy.
Yep. All right, thanks, Cliff. Even the national broadcast with Ross Tucker, Jay Feely, they were kind of giving Deshaun Watson the business, and, you know, you've seen an energy increase, and, you know, Watson couldn't get the ball down the field. Cedric Tillman looked like he was Paul Warfield running around out there against the Ravens secondary. And Jameis Winston tried to get, we've talked about it 1,000 times. We talked about it last week when we knew he was going to start. You're going to get opportunities to get turnovers. Ravens didn't take advantage of him. It's as simple as that. And because he has a big arm, they made plays through the air, big plays. And I mean, how many big plays did the Ravens give up yet again yesterday?
Seven. That's a continuous problem. I mean, the biggest problem is consistency of the defense. They just hadn't had any consistency whatsoever. And how are they going to fix it? They haven't fixed it in 8 weeks. Why? What's going to convince us to say that they're going to put four quarters together?
I haven't seen it yet.
No.
The closest was Buffalo. Right, Nolan?
Yeah.
And even that one, there was a little bit going on early in the second half where it looked like they might let it slip away from them. They regained themselves pretty quickly, but even in a convincing win, there's a few moments here and there where you're saying, oh, this could get out of hand fast.
Yeah, Buffalo had a dopey flea flicker that kind of ended their momentum as they were starting to generate in the second half. But the Ravens have to get it together. What do you well, it's not going to be happy Harbs. Great question. You know, mentioned in the reporters by name. I'm guessing it'll be somewhere in between. Harb still trying to search for answers to questions he might not be able to answer right now.
Right. Well, I'm guessing that, he's going to go to Chad Steele and say, Chad, what are they going to ask me? Because I'm guessing that Chad goes in the media room and said, what do you guys, you know, kind of get the idea of what the questions are going to be. So Harb's kind of knows. I don't know what is he going to be defensive, Harb's? But he's always going to praise his players. So he's never going to criticize them. So it's going to be interesting. If it's 2:30, I'm going to listen. I'm going to try to listen to it.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. You're going to listen to the Funhouse. It's Nolan McGraw. People want to get in via that route, and we're going to do it. Got Inside Access coming up at 2 o'clock and later on tonight here on 105.7 The Fan. World Series Game 3. Dodgers try to take a commanding 3-0 lead in the Bronx against the reeling Yankees.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, let's come out swinging here. This texter says, because of John Harbaugh's unbelievable arrogance and his incapability to admit mistakes, the Ravens are going to waste a possible Super Bowl run because they will not admit they screwed up by hiring Zach Orr. He's clearly in over his head. I've never seen a defense this bad in my life.
Well, I think they admitted it by bringing in Dean Pease after six games. They admitted that they're having problems. And for 2 weeks now, it's still the same. That's the problem. Hadn't changed. We haven't seen anything that makes us think that it has changed.
Yeah, and they can't get off the field on third down. It's insane. Yeah.
This texter says part of the problem falls on the Ravens front office for misinterpreting the level of play that they were going to get out of their existing defense, even after losing several key pieces from last year.
Well, they lost, Queen, Stone, and Clowney. And it's kind of coming back to haunt them because Geno Stone had seven picks last year. He was an excellent center fielder, and they're missing that. And the middle of the field was not something that was attacked last year because I think that Queen and Roquan had a great chemistry. And I think with Simpson, he played like 90% yesterday, so he played a lot. So that's still causing issues there. And then Clowney was their sack leader, so then they're having problems there. So all three areas that they're having problems with are where the three dudes left.
Another texter says all it took for fans to want Marcus Williams back was an even worse safety performance in place of him. I didn't think it could get any worse, but Eddie Jackson managed to reach new lows.
He had 10 tackles. He dropped two interceptions. What would Marcus Williams have done? That's my thing. He hadn't done anything all year. He hadn't even been in the pitcher all year. At least we saw 39 in the pitcher, and he was making tackles. It wasn't because guys were catching it on him.
Well, except for that last one.
Oh, he missed.
The game winner.
Oh, that's the one where everybody was lined up wrong.
Communication breakdown.
Yeah.
Chris checking in says, is TJ Tampa a current on-roster player that, when healthy or available, could come in and help fix the secondary issues?
Well, maybe in 3 weeks because he's on IR, so he's got to miss 3 weeks. But I've always said that he would be a safe. He would have caught those balls because he could. I'd be shocked if he can't play the safety position because he's got phenomenal ball skills, and that's what you want for the safety guy.
And this texter says, I think it's time to stop with the best kicker in football labels for Justin Tucker. He's no longer that guy. Might be time to move on when the offseason rolls around.
We going that way?
Damn.
Now, Bucker, Boswell, Carlson, you certainly have guys that are in the conversation, if not have surpassed. But to the point where we cundiff him? Justin Tucker getting cundiffed?
Nah.
He was bad yesterday.
Yeah, he struggled yesterday.
It's one of those where you're asking yourself, well, what would it take in a hypothetical? Because, look, I mean, you can't ignore almost over a decade at this point, 12 years. You can't ignore a 12-year track record that he's put out there for you, but it's the same issues. Keeps missing left,
Three for 10, is it now?
It might even be more than that.
In 50-plus, 3 for 11, something, mm-hmm. 3 for 12.
And that's just in a league where guys are hitting 50-plus yards pretty easily or at a much higher rate than
in college.
Yeah, than they were 5, 10 years ago. It can't happen. We'll close with this one here. Texter says, one thing that bothered me in the game, Derrick Henry only getting 11 carries. That's totally unacceptable, causing further issues to happen later in the game, too many three and outs, etc. Just unbelievable that they only gave him that many carries.
Well, the thing about it is when you're not blocking anybody, you're not knocking people off the ball. Plus, they were down almost most of the game in the second half. So, he had 11 for 74. So I think he had a lot of chunks, but there was a lot of plays in there where he didn't get anything.
39 on one run.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, to that point, you take that out, his average per carry, it's in the threes, low threes.
So, it's... You're beating your head against the wall. So they were doing what they, were trying to do. What would we be saying? Let's say Hamilton caught that ball. What would our conversation be? And they didn't play good, but they found a way to win it. And Lamar was Lamar, and
you know, he got 74 yards.
We'd still be worried about the safeties
and
the pass rush.
But offensively, you wouldn't be bitching and complaining.
Survive in advance. 88-80-105-7 the Fan. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up next. Game 3 of the World Series later on in the evening. Dodgers at New York. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. I'll talk to you on Wednesday. Cordell's in tomorrow. Stay safe, stay healthy, everybody. For now, class dismissed.